It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
All right. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Larry the Cable Guy sitting in for David Holland today. Just wanted to talk to you about what's going on with your money. Actually, no, David Holland's right here. I'm in a funny sort of mood, so I don't know. Maybe I'm just high on life. Isn't that what they say?
Some say yes.
High on something, right?
Some do say that.
Well, we're high on the activity in the market. That's what we're high on, and you do not need Larry the Cable Guy to do that.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Because we got Scott Connor. We don't need Larry.
Terrific. Tuesday's market?
Yes, sir.
Ready?
Yes, sir.
It was a roller coaster Tuesday. Yeah, after the Fed minutes were released, we saw some pretty significant sell-off. We'll talk about that in a second. But Tuesday's market, Dow down 67 points, NASDAQ down 6, S&P down 6. Overall, not such a big deal. Oil down $1.104. Tens at 218, about where they were the day before. Gold, the big mover, down $33 at 1646. No surprise there.
No surprise because the expectations of more quantitative easing, which is printing more money, putting it into the system by the Fed, does not look like it's very likely.
It certainly looks less likely than the market thought.
Okay.
From my standpoint, I don't think QE2 was particularly helpful. It helped the stock market and it helped commodity prices. I don't know that it was really helpful economically. QE1 was. But I think the Fed is not particularly interested in going through a whole lot of activity just so they can see stock prices go up and gold prices go up.
That's not the purpose, right?
Yeah, it's not the purpose.
Tell everybody again, Scott, one more time, what's QE?
Quantitative easing. It's basically where the Fed floods the market with money.
And they do that by buying up bonds.
They buy up bonds.
And that injects cash into the system because they buy the bonds from the banks, right?
They buy them from all over the place.
Okay.
Open market, all over the place. And the hope is that they put that money flooded into the system, and it starts changing hands and changing hands and changing hands. More services are bought, more goods are bought, and it basically stimulates the economy. So
that we don't need another round of this, it's kind of like telling a patient, look, we've already given you 2 doses of antibiotics. We're not going to give you a third.
Yeah, now they haven't flat out said we're not going to give you a third, but they've said... You know,
I'm sorry, antibiotics are not not a good analogy. We've given you 2 doses of morphine.
Yeah.
We're not giving you a third. We hope you don't, because you're recovering, right? Isn't that what we see here, Scott?
It is, but with the caveat being that if we don't recover...
Fast enough,
if we don't continue to recover, if we don't start to see some strengthening in the recovery, it's still there. We just really, really don't want to do it. And there's getting to be more and more dissension, I think, among those who want to do it and those who don't want to do it as far as
big issue, I know you want to continue, but real quick, isn't the big issue all for the Fed all about saying, hey, look, if we get inflation, we know how to fix that.
Yeah.
But deflation is really hard to fix.
Yeah, deflation is a real problem, a real significant problem.
And that's why all this, they're doing all this. That's we don't want to be another Japan.
I mean, they have the dual mandate, right? Inflation, right. They want to keep inflation under control around 2% ideally, and they want unemployment to be where they want it to be. Unemployment is not where they want it to be, and it's not getting there quickly enough, which I think is the only thing that would cause them to really sort of open the spigots again, because they have said in basically all of their commentary over the last couple of years, the jobs market is still not efficient. It's still not where we want it to be.
Hey, we just got to find an economist that will say 6% by next summer.
Yeah, well, they're out there. But this week is an important week. You know, on Wednesday, we start to really get this slate of jobs numbers. ADP employment report, that's the monthly private jobs created, as referred to us by payroll company ADP. Thursday, we get our jobless claims. Friday, even though the market is closed, they're going to launch the unemployment number for last month, for March. So we'll see what's happened as far as jobs creation and unemployment rate.
So we'll hope it's a really, really good Friday.
Yeah, we'll hope so. I mean, maybe we'll get to 8.1.
I'll take that. I'll take 8.1.
Maybe, but maybe we'll go to 8.4. You know, who knows? You never really
know. Maybe we'll get 7.99999.
Yeah, I don't think we'll get that. But those numbers, as we have talked about in the past, are so malleable that even the number, whatever it may or may not be, is not particularly indicative of the health of the jobs market.
So whatever the numbers are, doesn't mean things are better.
Not necessarily. I mean, I think you can take some heart in the trend that the unemployment rate continues to go down, but the numbers behind the numbers are still not that great.
And they're not solid, and your concern is they are you can manipulate them.
Yeah, and to be honest, if we're making 200 or so thousand jobs a month, it's going to take us 10 years to get back to full employment. 10 years. That's a
Don't
long
be in such a hurry,
recovery.
Scott.
Whee! That's a long recovery.
All right, well, I know you got more. Hold on. Hold the phone. Take a quick break. Sorry for the interruptions, but it's good stuff we got to talk about. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
And we're back. And I have just interrupted Scott Connor up one side, down the other. I'm sorry, Scott. We got to get to the heart of this good stuff.
Well, we're going to talk about European bonds. Now, I know we had a couple weeks off of European bonds. And we're not going to talk about Greece bonds or Greek bonds, but we are going to talk about European bonds. Spain's economy really continuing to cause a lot of concern. Their debt-to-GDP ratio expected to soar to almost 80% in 2012, up from 68% the previous year.
That's a lot of debt.
It's a lot of debt. And they're supposed to be reducing their GDP as well. So the GDP is going the wrong way while their debt is also going the wrong way. So that you can see how that's a really, really fast way to increase your debt to GDP ratio.
If they need help with their numbers, maybe to send over some of the guys that are doing the labor numbers, the unemployment numbers?
They could. I mean, it's, you know, but European yields are getting high again. Spanish 10 years as of Tuesday's close, 5.31. Italian 10 years, 5.09. Those are manageable. They're okay. Portuguese 10 years, 11.4. That's high.
That's not sustainable.
Put it in context, the German 10-year, the Bund, it's called the Bund, 1.8%.
It's less than ours.
It's much less than ours.
Whoa.
We are 218 on today's close.
Yeah. Well, so the yield is a measure of risk.
Yep.
And so right now, the global community is saying that the German bond, 10 years, is less risky than ours.
They're AAA.
In effect.
They're AAA. We aren't.
Well, maybe they have a budget and we don't.
They have a lot of things. They have high productivity. They have low unemployment. They have a lot of things going.
And they
for
get
them.
Time off.
And they get time off. But they're worried that 11.4 on Portuguese, 5.31 on Spanish, and 5.09 on Italians is going to cause them problems. Honestly, the five numbers are not too. They're not too
That's
crippling.
Not a problem.
The seven, if it starts to creep up to seven and it can get there fast, that is a problem.
Well, and the reason, a good example, ladies and gentlemen, why seven is such a big deal for the interest rate that a government has to pay on its debt is at seven, about 7%. your debt will double in 10 years.
Yeah, plus if you have a shrinking GDP and you have a ton of unemployed people, where are you going to get tax money?
It's like if they doubled the price of bread. How would you feel that?
Yeah.
You have to buy more bread. That's one of the, there's a fancy word for it in economics, but if you have something that's basically you double the price and everybody needs it, then they have no choice but to buy more of that.
Because they know the price is going up.
But they can't buy meat, for example, yeah. that's more expensive because they have money left over after buying the bread.
Yeah. So we're not done talking about Spain. We're done for today, but we're going to be talking about Spain all summer.
Can I tell you something about one of your guys you watched, Dr. Doom?
Oh, yeah. Dr. Doom, Mark Faber.
No, this is another guy. I guess they called him Dr. Doom. Is it Rubini?
Oh, yeah. Nouriel Rubini. Yeah, he's built a whole firm on being bearish.
Well, he's being bearish. And basically, his argument is that there needs to be a mini euro and that they need to kick out a couple of the ones that are troublemakers, the Portuguese, Ireland, Italy, Greece, and Spain. Not Portuguese, but not troublemakers, but they're called the pigs. They're the ones that their debt ratios are all out of whack. And just, it needs to be like a divorce. It's going to be bad. It's going to be worse down the road. So it just, you know, come up with a settlement agreement. And the main argument, which does make sense, and I read this when I was looking at some other information. One of the big arguments for having the breaking the euro zone up and having some of them stay, some of them go, is that the smaller ones that are in an uncompetitive situation or have these higher debt ratios, they can't devalue their currency.
Yeah.
Because they're on the euro.
Right.
And that would be your normal thing you would do is, you know, like Brazil. Brazil's had this massive influx of capital after growing. And everybody's trying to pound money into Brazil. And they grew at this huge number in 2010, 7%, 8%, 9%, 10%,
yeah.
7%.
Yeah.
2011, theirs was as low as ours, around 3%. Well, they're trying to reduce the value of their currency. The European zone, some of these guys like Ireland or Portugal, they can't do that. They can't devalue their currency.
Yeah.
So they're stuck.
Yeah. Well, that's easy for him to say, though. I mean,
I know the mechanics
of that are difficult. And,
no question.
And he is absolutely consistent in his negativity.
He's a bummer.
Yeah. I've yet to hear him say a positive thing.
Well, I think the message is it's interesting, though, that there are more and more people talking about a potential breakup. Whether it's viable to do or not is a whole other issue, but that is the fundamental problem that these countries have, is they can't devalue.
Well, we shall see.
Okay.
I don't think they can break up. It screws up all the trade agreements and everything.
Easy to get into, hard to get out of.
Yep.
All right. Well, it's easy for us to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Okay, now while I've got Scott a little bit worked up with Dr. Doom, let me ask you about another one that I know is going to get you going, Scott. All right, Ed Dempsey, he is the founder and chief investment officer at Pension Partners. He told Matt Nesto, isn't that the guy over at Breakout? Anyway, one of these online sites. Anyway, he told him, hey, look, stock market is going to go up another 30% this year because what's going to happen is everybody's going to figure out that all these bonds and everything are not a good deal. And the Fed is making these low risk assets really risky. And so everybody's going to go pouring into the market and the S&P is going to be at 1800. What do you think of that?
Well, it's terrific.
I know you'd like to see it.
I would love to see it, but the whole idea of anybody putting a number on a prediction for a return on the stock market is just absolutely ridiculous.
You know why they do it?
Yeah, because they want you to read about it on the radio.
So that I'll talk about it on the radio. They just want to be on Real Money with David Holland. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's outrageous. Well, you know, as I have said in the past, those who have knowledge don't predict, and those who predict don't have knowledge. And I believe that. What is he going to do if there's another earthquake, another tsunami, and that undoes the entire Asian economy? Whoop, there goes your 40% just like that on an unpredictable event. It's stupid. It's a disservice to the public.
But here's the spin. You know, I've always said that there's only one place there's more spin than in politics, and it's financial services. Here's his answer, or the answer of somebody who says this kind of thing. Scott, hey, look, this is the nature of the beast. It's equity markets, man. You know that. I'm telling you what would happen if that wouldn't have happened. So, you know, it's a tsunami's fault.
Okay. Well, what is he going to do if the Easter Bunny falls out of the sky and all of a sudden starts becoming a traitor? You know, it's as legitimate. The whole thing is, I hate when people do that. Auto sales were up quite a bit in March.
Well, drive it off a lot and tell us about it.
Yeah, auto sales are up quite a bit, and some of the number behind the number are the higher gas prices. The analysts are saying, well, you know, a lot of people are trading in their old clunkers. We have about a 10-year-old car on average on the road now, and they're selling a lot of Priuses and a lot of Cruises and stuff like that. Chrysler Group reported new vehicle sales up 34% in March, highest total in 4 years. GM
That's
and Ford
huge.
Also good numbers there. Toyota up 15%, record sales of the Prius Hybrid. I'm going to buy one of those Priuses.
Are you really?
No.
I can see you in that.
Really?
But you'd have to get out of that thing to change your mind.
You wouldn't let me park it here.
I'll let you park it wherever you want.
Really?
I'll give you my parking spot.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
You buy a Prius, I'll let you park in my parking
spot. Well,
they're
kind of expensive.
Now, if
so.
You park there, don't get upset, though, if I park on top of you because I can't see it. That's little. And I got that big SUV.
I know.
You know, a guy pulled out in front of me the other day, and thank God I was watching, and thank God I have good brakes, and thank God I really care about my fellow man, because pulled right out in front of me, and here I am doing 50 on, that's the speed limit, and I've got three-ton vehicle,
yeah.
6,000 pounds.
Yeah,
he was about to get a lesson in physics. I felt, man, I'm like, golly, people got to pay attention. Anyway.
Yeah, it's hazardous out there.
But yeah, the Chrysler, man, Jeep, Dodge, they're on fire.
Yeah, big numbers all around. So good
Ford
for them.
Ford did okay. Ford, nothing surprising. They're just kind of hanging out. Why is Chrysler, is it just the product line? They're just really bouncing back?
I think so. I think it's mostly the product line.
Lee Iacocca's not back, is he?
You know, I think I've told you this before, but I pass a guy on the highway every day that drives a K car. It's got a cracked windshield that was broken down on the side of the road the other day. It's obviously the same guy. There's only one K car on I-4 at 8:30 in the morning.
You drive whatever gets you there.
Yep. I laugh every time I see it. My Nana had one of those things way, probably 30 years ago. Here's a really great story that was in Investment News. It's a trade magazine, as you know, that we get every week. It seems like we get two or three a week, but we do get them every week. JPMorgan Chase and Company, in a lawsuit with a former employee who was suing them for about $1 million, this former employee, Kay Herbert, a Swiss-based currency trader, sued JPMorgan for lost earnings. Basically, he was working for UBS to go work for JPMorgan, and JPMorgan said, basically, we'll pay you $310,000 a year.
Wow.
In a contract, but there was a misprint in the contract that said we'll pay you $3.1 million. And so he signed the contract expecting $3.1 million. J.P. Morgan was expecting to pay him $310,000, which is about the going rate. And when he didn't get his $3.1 million, he sued. And he didn't win. And he doesn't have a job now.
Not good.
No, I think it's ridiculous. So, well, who is he to think he was going to get $3.1 million?
You know, there's an old saying, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered.
Yeah, come on. The normal going rate is that $310,000 is too much for a currency trader. Really, what are you adding to society? $3.1 million?
Well, speaking of pigs and getting fat and something about getting slaughtered here, J.P. Morgan banker, another J.P. Morgan guy, he had to resign because he's got to fight an abuse fine that insider trading, basically, that one of London's prominent bankers in some hot water. What did he do? He got himself into an insider trading deal.
Yeah.
It's like they get, they're too high on the mountain and the oxygen's thinner.
And it's greed. Greed is a terrible, terrible thing.
It's sad. It's very sad when we see that.
I'm going to see if I can get an update for you on the gentleman that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago who took a cab out to his house in Greenwich, Connecticut, yeah, and stabbed the
cabbie.
Who
was he with? Which
I think he was City. I don't know that that's right.
I think
right,
it's somebody
though.
Else. Well, we'll find out. We need to take a quick
break,
right,
Lisa?
I'll
see if I can get you an update.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
This is your 2-minute warning.
All right, we're back, and I politely requested that Scott stay for a little bit longer. Listen to this. You know, we were talking about the whole stock market could go up 40% according to this, Ed Dempsey. Anyway, so it's all about moving out of bonds. That's basically his argument, that these riskless or lower risk assets will become less favorable and you're going to lose money, which I agree. You know, if interest rates go up, bonds are going to go down, you're going to lose money.
Yeah, but the bond rally is now in its 30th year.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, it's done. That rally is done.
Yeah,
there's
but
nowhere
it's
to go.
Been done for a long time.
I know, but there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
The yields can't go any lower, really, can they? I mean, they can a little bit.
I said that last year.
Well, but we're getting close to zero, though. I mean, well, apparently the folks over at BlackRock do not have this information. They had a big ad in the Wall Street Journal touting, they said 2% isn't a return, it's a retreat. It's kind of a clever ad. But what struck me was kind of funny because they said, so what do you do now? What do you do now? Well, what you do, based on what they're sharing, is you take on more risk. And this really kind of makes a point that what the Fed has done is it's lowering these rates and putting more money into the system, and it's forcing people to look at, I've got to take risk.
Yeah, particularly for retirees, which I hate.
I don't think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, a normal haven for a retiree is a bond, a nice safe AAA or a government bond, and they get enough yield that they can live on, but there's not enough yield now. So the Fed policies have forced conservative investors, particularly income investors, to take on more risk, certainly than you or I would generally counsel them to.
Well, and I'm not going to give up on finding ways to protect them because, you know, Scott, we do both the investments and we do the annuities and we do a combination because we think that can give them the income. But what's really interesting about this is it's just like a knee-jerk reaction for the entire securities industry that, hey, let's just go more risk. Well, and they talk about their high-yield bond fund. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, high-yield bond fund, let me translate, junk bond fund. Yeah. That means that in order for the yield to be higher, you've got to have more risk. So that bond is... it's lower rated stuff.
Yeah, high yield bonds are generally thought to have equity-like risk.
So it's risky. You're very much investing with that company. You're not taking the normal debt holder position.
Yeah.
Your debt payments, your interest payments are very dependent on the health of that company.
Yeah, you're generally not first in line for payback.
No.
Not in a company like that. So yeah, that is definitely an outcome of current market conditions.
You know, the fine print matters. And it was funny in this ad that caught my attention that I'm sharing with you. Listen to this. Here we go. This is in the fine print. The two main risks related to fixed income investing are interest rate risk and credit risk. Very good.
That is true.
That's very true. Typically, when interest rates rise, there's a corresponding decline in the market value of the bond. So bonds go down when interest rates go up.
Also true.
Credit risk refers to the possibility that the insurer of the bond, the folks issuing the bond that are borrowing your money, will not be able to make principal or interest payments. Especially in the case of high yield bonds called junk bonds.
That's all.
I sound like Jerry Seinfeld.
That is a
What
risk.
Are you thinking? What are you doing? I mean, you know, it's so funny though that these people, it's in the fine print where they're required to do this, but it cracks me up. You know, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, you do not have to go risky to secure or maintain your retirement. We can go do an income portfolio that still has shorter term bonds. And you can look at the annuities, you can look at building a financial plan. And you know the trick too, a lot of people miss out on, Scott, is using their money in the right way. Using money at different times, building a plan. As soon as we finish the show today, I'm going right into a meeting with a couple. They say, what do I do? How do I plan my future? And we're going to sit down with them. We're going to talk about it. And we're going to show them how to do it. So, all right, Scott, I'm going to let you go. I've got a few other things I want to get to, but you... wait a minute. Nope, not letting you go. Hold on.
I have Prius shopping to do.
No. Yeah, you do. No, put your pen down. Here we go. Hold on. Last thing before I let you go. Brokers raise fees, but not for the investor. Why should you care? Article in Wall Street Journal. What they're talking about is there is the brokerage firms, broker-dealer firms, who sell mutual funds for a commission, okay? It's mutual funds are a security. They sell them for a commission. They charge shelf space. And what they do is for every dollar, this is on top of the normal commission that your mutual fund pays. They charge them an additional fee to have shelf space, to be a preferred partner or, you know, to get on the shelf for the brokers to use. And the fees is significant. And in fact, one of the things that stuck out, and so there's a lot of debate in the industry about what this means. Well, bottom line, that's a part of the cost of the mutual fund. And guess who pays that?
Yeah, there's no question it gets passed on. I mean, I worked for a major, major firm that you had to read the whole disclosures, but it was in there that said this handful of mutual fund selections that we're recommending to you, these funds are paying to be on this list, just so you know.
They're paying to be on our short list.
Yeah.
There's a conflict there.
There is.
Well, here, listen to how bad it is. One particular firm, Edward Jones, they share more information than anybody else does about these arrangements. And the reason they do is because it was part of a 2004 regulatory settlement where the Fed, the Fenris.
So they're not sharing out of benevolence.
They're sharing because they know better.
Yeah.
They learn. They got whacked in the back of the head. And so Edward Jones is being very good. But listen to this. Part of their disclosure, out of their $480,000 profit in 2011, a third of that profit was from these payments. $160 million paid just to one brokerage firm by the mutual fund companies for shelf space.
Yeah, we're looking right now at a portfolio for one of our advisors' prospects that has unit investment trusts in it and closed-end funds, and the fee structures inside of those things are eye-opening. And clients don't see them because they're buried. But there are usually two or three different levels of fees. Clients don't see any of it. It comes right out of the return. And really, if you look at what you're paying for, a lot of times it's nothing. Or very little.
You're right. And you know, people are surprised when we reveal to them, we do our analysis, we show them what they're actually paying. They can't believe it. And then a lot of times people are like, oh, well, how do you get paid? And we share it with them. They're like, oh, well, and we have to make sure they understand many times it's less than what they're paying, but they just have never seen it.
That's right.
And it's what you don't know that really can hurt you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I do know because Lisa's been fanning me like an Egyptian prince over here with the go to 5 seconds. Okay, we're out of time for this segment, but come right back and I will give you some other information that you will not believe. Stick around.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
All right, we're back. We'll see you, Scott. Scott's running out of here to get... He was just sharing a story with me on the break of another ridiculous thing he saw and looking at one of the people that came in asking for our help. The client had a couple of investments, and he was just talking to me about how bad the fees were. You just got to be on your guard. And, you know, whenever you do business with any advisor or anybody with any service, ask what's it going to cost and can I have it in writing? The world would be a better place if we would all just disclose our fees in writing. Well, for the amount of, how much time I got, Lisa? About 2 minutes. All right. I've got to talk about a couple of things. I'm going to save. Let me put that one to the side. All right. Long-term care insurance. I'll just change the subject very radically here, go from investments to insurance. Long-term care insurance, a lot of stuff going on in the news right now with long-term care. And what I want to tell you is if you're 50 or older, you need to look at long-term care insurance now. Premiums will very likely be higher in the future, not only because of your age, but also because as these products become more mature, meaning they're around longer, there's going to be potential increases in price. If you have not looked at it, please look at it. And I'll tell you something else. A lot there are new innovative type products where you can have the insurance program. This is offered from insurance companies. That's a good thing. They're big and they're going to be around for a long time. What you want is a well-rated company, but these insurance products, insurance companies listen to the consumer and they're evolving these products to where if you don't use the money, you put the money into the product and you don't use it for long-term care, it can give you an income or it will be life insurance for your heirs. So it's time to look at that. If you're over 50 and you've not looked at long-term care, you really need to look at it. And it's especially if you can get a cheaper price earlier. You know, I've worked with people and I've looked at long-term care, the cost of that at age 50 versus age 70. Oh my gosh, okay? Big difference. And it's something that you definitely want to look at. And one thing I want to comment also on, some interesting news. The federal agents, it's called ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, they did a big bust and they rounded up 3,100 illegal immigrants that were, most of them were bad guys, criminals. So I applaud that effort, because that is a real drain financially on our resources as a country, having to deal with them in our criminal justice system and all that. So there you go. The federal government has done something good there in terms of looking at long-term cost of that issue. All right, we're out of time. Be sure to tune in. And I'm going to tell you right now what I'm going to talk about on next show. REITs, real estate investment trust, non-traded REITs, and how that can get you in trouble. I'm saving it for you. Be sure to tune in next time.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.